It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Titus, we are continuing our series on the book of Titus, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. The book of Titus, penned by the Apostle Paul to his son in the faith by conversion to Christ, named Titus. This individual, Titus, was given authority to establish order and structure in the Cretan churches according to the word of God. The book of Titus establishes Christian doctrine in the churches and Christian conduct and Christian character. The book of Titus is called one of the three pastoral epistles, along with 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Here in verse 1, Titus further establishes Christian order and conduct for his structure that he's providing in the Cretan churches by teaching on humility and being subject to the laws of the land and those in authority. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 14 underscores this particular principle. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of the man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. This is also echoed in Romans chapter 13, where specifically Paul teaches that all power or all authority is ordained by God. The scriptures do teach that we are to follow authority, but we are to follow authority that is not contrary to God's law. God's law supersedes the law of man. For example, abortion may be illegal by man, but it is against the law of God, thou shalt not kill. So we as Christians support civil order, we support a civil society, we support the law of the land and the rule of law. However, we as Christians do not support laws that supersede the law of God. This example is found also in the scriptures in Acts chapter 5, as the apostles were beaten for preaching the word of God and commanded by the religious hierarchy not to preach or teach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their response to this particular law or edict from the religious leaders was, we ought to obey God rather than man. So the apostles knew that it was required to obey civil law and civil order, but when that particular civil law or civil order superseded the law of God according to the word of God, then individuals ought not to follow those particular laws. We have to stand before God in the final judgment and not stand before man. Verse number 2, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Verse 2 is speaking of bridling the tongue and not backbiting, backstabbing, speaking ill of others. This is outlined in James chapter 3 on the use of the tongue. To be no brawlers speaks of not being argumentative, contentious, aggressive, abusive, rough, abrasive, but rather having a meek and gentle spirit which will foster the opportunity for individuals to preach and teach the Word of God and to plant seeds in love and to be receptive when furthering the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse number 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Here in verse 3, this also underscores the reason why in verse 2 we ought not to speak evil of any. It is because we ourselves had a former life before we came to Christ that was not pleasing to God. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 through 3 underscores verse number 3 in Titus. And you have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation or lifestyle in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath or God's judgment, even as others. So here we see in verse number 3, we operated in foolishness and disobedience. We were deceived based on the appetites and the desires in the flesh. Jesus in John chapter 8 said, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. So, yes, we were serving divers lusts and pleasures. Living in malice means living in ill will towards others, hoping that bad things happen to others and good things happen to us. Envy speaks of jealousy, not being content with the blessings that God has given an individual. Hateful, this speaks of hating others and hating the Lord in their heart. This is our former resume in verse 3, until we receive the change in our heart through Jesus Christ. Verse 3 not only speaks of our former disposition, our former resume, it speaks to Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 3 speaks to Romans chapter 3 verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 3 reminds us why we should not speak evil of any, because this speaks not only to who we used to be, this also teaches us that except for the grace of God, go I. Verses 4 through 7. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Christ Jesus, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Verse number 4 speaks of a transformation point that changed us in verse number 3, when we received the kindness and love of God through Jesus. In other words, when we received the love of God as evidenced by him washing us and cleansing us and forgiving us and granting us grace and mercy, that draws us to the Lord in salvation. Romans chapter 2 verse 4 declares that the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. When an individual is drawn by the love and kindness of Christ through the unction and the wooing of the Holy Spirit, individuals have a sense of conviction that they need to be saved, and individuals respond in their heart to receive the love of God and forgiveness through Christ Jesus. Verse 5 speaks of how this conversion takes place. not by works of righteousness is echoed in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are not saved by good works. We are saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. We do good works after we are saved to demonstrate that we love the Lord and want to serve Him after our conversion. Verse 5 continues to acknowledge the washing of the Holy Spirit and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Regeneration is used in verse 5, not the word rehabilitation. Regeneration speaks to being born again. As Jesus Christ echoed this in the book of John chapter 3, ye must be born again, born of the Spirit of God. When an individual accepts Jesus Christ by faith in their heart, upon the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit amalgamates itself with our dead spirit and quickens us and makes us alive to God and dead to sin. This is the born-again experience that causes individuals to be regenerated, renewed on the inside, and then a life of demonstration that's new on the outside. Verse number 6 speaks that the source is through Jesus Christ, faith in Jesus Christ, receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as the spark to being born again. Verse 7 underscores the justification by grace, and once again, not by works, and our promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Verse number 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Verse 8 speaks of this particular doctrine, this particular principle, this particular saying, explaining the born-again experience in the verses above in 4 and 5 and 6, is a faithful saying and should be affirmed on an ongoing basis as part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse number 8 once again echoes that there's a responsibility to do good works after salvation that demonstrates a change in a person's life. These good works demonstrate that fruit will be produced. It demonstrates a heart of compassion that wants to serve others and bring others into the kingdom of God. Verses 9 through 11. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Verse 9 through 11 is a warning to Titus and to others that when we begin to speak to others, to reach out to others through the Word of God, that we ought to avoid sidebars, distractions in the form of foolish questions and long genealogies. This is echoed in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. Not to give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. This is also echoed in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 23 through 24. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. So individuals that want to look at their lineage and heritage, not to celebrate known ancestors and a certain culture, but rather than to seek some type of salvation experience from their roots to justify their salvation or to justify that they be better than someone else, this is not to be done. For example, in the scriptures, the Jews of that day were depending upon that they were of the lineage of Abraham, that Abraham was their father, and therefore they are justified in God's eyesight. Certain families do that today, and in other times where their family name in their mind were to bring them some type of credence and justification in God's eyesight that they were superior to others. Individuals today in the church fall into this trap when they say, my grandmother was a Christian, or my grandfather was a good Christian man, or my father was a preacher, or my mother was a good Christian woman. This lineage can be honored and should be honored, but it should not be used to justify an individual's standing with the Lord. Individuals are responsible for their own salvation between them and the Lord, and their lineage, their genealogy, their heritage, and culture has nothing to do with their own particular salvation. The scriptures speak, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Scriptures teach ye must be born again. This has been said often, that God has no grandchildren. Individuals must know the Lord for themselves and have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Individuals can celebrate culture and heritage and ancestry without depending on that particular genealogy or heritage or roots to justify themselves being better than someone else or being justified to receive salvation. Also, a search of endless genealogies can also cause individuals to take their eyes off of Christ and the focus of serving the Lord in love and following Jesus. It can be time-consuming, and it can cause individuals to lose their priority when it comes to their purpose in Christ. Contentions in verse 9 speak to arguments and endless debates and drama. Strivings about the law is going back and forth in terms of the doctrine of the scriptures by taking particular scriptures out of context, and individuals not willing to look at the appropriate use of the scriptures. Verse number 10 speaks of a warning to Titus and to us on how to limit our admonitions to others. If an individual does not accept the first and second admonition, which means loving warning, then we are to take a step back and allow those seeds to be planted and then pray for the individual rather than to be drawn into a contentious argument. The scriptures teach that one man planteth, another man watereth, and God gives the increase. Jesus Christ also warned that we ought not to cast our pearls before swine, lest they trample them and turn and rend us. And the individual's heart must be opened to receive the word of God and the witness of God. If that does not take place, then seeds can be planted, and then we pray for the individual. Verse 11 speaks of this individual's disposition, how their mind is already convinced that they will not agree with what you are saying, and his rejection is condemning his own self and not us, and neither the word of God. Proverbs chapter 26, verses 4 through 5 gives us wisdom on how these particular scriptures, verses 9 through 11, are in context. As we read the following, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit." Individuals that may not be prepared to receive the word of God, we are to plant the seeds and pray for them that someone will come to water the seed and that God will give the increase. Verses 12 through 14, "When I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Dicapolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful." Here in verses 12 through 14, we see that Paul, being free from prison at this time because he is choosing to winter in Nicopolis, desires to make contact and to see the brethren. Oh, the love that Paul and the missionaries have for each other as they further the gospel of Jesus Christ and relish themselves in loving fellowship. Verse 12 speaks of Artemis, a traveling companion in the Lord, spoken only here in Scripture. Tychicus, another traveling companion and one of the most trusted of Paul. He is spoken in Acts chapter 20, verse 4, when Paul is returning to his Macedonian missionary experience. Paul, once again, free from prison at this time because he has a choice to winter in Nicopolis, hoping that as he's writing this to Titus, these individuals, knowing that he is in Nicopolis, can rendezvous with him before the heavy snows of the winter take place. Verse 13 speaks of Zenas the lawyer, spoken only here in Scripture, but how interesting it is that if you were to trace all the traveling companions of Paul, that God uses a cornucopia of individuals, a variety of individuals from all backgrounds, individuals that are lawyers, individuals that are accountants, individuals that are doctors, individuals that are carpenters, tent makers, individuals that come from all walks of life, former servants, now free in the Lord, families, and single individuals are accompanying Paul on his missionary journeys. Verse 13 speaks of Apollos. You'll find this individual in Acts chapter 18, a powerful preacher and eloquent with the Scriptures. This city, Nicopolis, is a city of Epirus on the Gulf of Ambracia, near to Arcadium in Lower Asia, in the country of Greece. Verse 14 speaks again of maintaining good works post-salvation. Once again, as a demonstration of an individual's conversion, but also encouraged often as a way to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 14, encouraging good works in order to ensure that the Christian's life is productive in Christ. Verse number 15, "All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be unto you all. Amen." Here in the benediction and conclusion, Paul is once again sending greetings from all of his traveling companions that are with him during this time to the other missionaries that are with Titus. There is connection and intimacy in the family of Christ, even though these individuals may be hundreds and hundreds of miles away, there's genuine concern and genuine desire to see each other again. Paul concludes with grace in his benediction, for we are saved by grace and we are kept by grace. Amen, being truly and even so. The book of Titus, speaking to Christian doctrine, the charges to Titus on how to ordain elders, the qualifications and disqualification for preachers, admonitions to the local church, and church order, and instructions to Titus on how to set up church order and church structure for the Christian churches. This is the book of Titus, chapter 3. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from His loving kindness, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Won't you bow your head and close your eyes and pray with me this prayer? Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised Him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.